Ouais.
Also that about then. We will magnify. What's all that about? Is it because God's too small and we've got to use a magnifying glass to make him look bigger? Perhaps there is a bit of that. Is that for some people God looks small and so we magnify him. That's why we meet together, because we're telling each other how great he is. As we praise him, it's like magnifying him, isn't it? Like losing a magnifying glass, and we look at him closely and we realise how big he really is. If only I had faith like you, someone once said to me many years ago, a teacher when I was at school. And that's been said loads of times since. I haven't got your faith. But the difficulty is you can't, they can't have your faith, they've got to have their own faith. But why? How could they see faith? Once when some people brought someone to Jesus, he said he saw their faith. How can you see faith? What he saw was their actions inspired by faith. And I think that's what people are seeing when they say, I want your faith. They can't see your faith, can they? They can't see how much you're believing or not believing. They can't see your doubts. But what they see is something, they see a person who's contented. They go, I know everything's going to be okay. But sometimes even we don't feel like that, do we? I've been for a time recently, I think, man, is everything going to be okay? I don't know. So then our faith gets rocked. Mike, how do I get the first PowerPoint up? We're going to look at the gift of faith. It would have been easy for Peter to walk on water. If he could see, he could do it. The difficulty is, it wasn't as easy as that, was it? If you could see, you could do it. That's not faith at all. That's why it's much easier to step out in a boat when you can see it's solid ice. I've walked on a lake. The ice was about that thick. And we drilled through it and we caught fish through the hole. But it didn't take many faith to stand on the lake, because it was that thick. You can drive a lorry on it. It won't go through. The gift of faith. Did Peter have the gift of faith? I think he probably did, because the other disciples didn't get out of the boat. He did. Talks about faith in Hebrews. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. That's what the ancients were commended for. Who are the ancients? You know, the people in the old, the people in the beginning of the Bible. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was not made out of what was visible. Actually, nowadays we know that's true. They didn't know it then. Visible things are made out of atoms that are invisible. Yeah, we know that. You can't see them, but visible things are made out of it. We, by faith, we trust that God has made things by his command. Some people don't believe that. We do, out of faith. We just believe it. Now, it goes on in a little bit later in Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's a good starting point, isn't it? And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now that sounds like God's rewarding us because of our faith. Is that right? That's what it sounds like. I wonder if that's true. But where did that faith come from in the first place? We can't please God unless we have faith in him. We'll go back to that later. In 1 Corinthians, it says this. This is what we've been looking at. We've been looking at a list of spiritual gifts. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that the one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus... Sorry, no one speaking by the Word of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, and the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So let's talk about when we get together, okay? To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Mike talked about that last week. I'm still confused about it. It's still hard, isn't it? Hard to understand. All these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each just as he determines. Interesting. You can live without doing miraculous powers. You can live without speaking in tongues. It's good to speak in tongues, but you can live without it. You can be a Christian without having the gift of healing. But you can't be a Christian and not have faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is it talking about the same faith? I believe this is talking about a gift for particular purposes and to help one another when we come together. It's for the common good. If you encounter someone who completely trusts God, even though the circumstances seem impossible, you can probably realize they've got a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful situation. They're praying for God for the answer, but they're able to rest in God. You might find someone suffering from a particular illness and they totally trust the Lord for that healing, even though they haven't seen it. Or knowing, like Lisa said the other day, knowing the house would sell, so they go and put a deposit on another one because you know that God's going to work it out. You've just got a gift of faith. You just believe it. And there's other gifts of faith. There was a guy called Brother Andrew who used to go across, that's what they named him. He died recently. He used to take his VW Beetle, fill it out with Bibles, and take it across the Iron Curtain. Remember the Iron Curtain before the wall came down? And he used to pray, Lord, blind their eyes. And as he went through the checkpoint, they'd open up the boot, and there would be a load of Bibles there for him to distribute, and they wouldn't say anything. As if they didn't see him. But Brother Andrew kept on doing that, and he just trusted God. He had a gift of faith. Andrew Fanstone was here a few weeks ago talking about serving God, and he just trusts God's going to take him through and work through him. He just trusts God. Many of us couldn't work in that sort of situation. What about Billy Graham? When he stands up, he's died now, he's 99 when he died, wasn't he? He used to stand up and he expected people to become Christians when he spoke. That's a gift of faith. The results of that sort of faith is contentedness. The situation might remain unsolved. Like Paul, he prayed once that God would remove his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was. 3 times he asked God to take it away. And then he said, but God's grace is sufficient. He just trusted God within the situation. Yeah? I think the reason we don't know what a thorn in the flesh was, because then each one of us, we have difficulties. What was it?
I don't know.
But God didn't take his away straight away, and maybe he won't take it away for us straight away. We just trust him. But Paul was happy to leave it with God. You can discern where there's faith, where there's absence of fear. Because in 1 John 4:8 it says, perfect love drives out fear. A person with a gift of faith can lift us because they confidently pray. They say, it's okay, God will sort it out. That's good, isn't it? Isn't it good when someone says that to you? I've had to have people say that to me recently. It's okay, God will sort it out. It's a supernatural gift given to individuals to pass on to others. Because faith encourages us and we start applying it to our own situations. Some things have happened in my life recently and made me say, God, what's all this about? I don't get it. And I'm searching for faith. It seems elusive. But when other people speak, when I go and speak to them, I say, okay. I say, okay, Steve, God will sort it out. I'm feeding off their faith. And that's right. That's what we have to get together. Because when your faith is low, other people is able to encourage us. What about this gift to please God? So saving faith. You know, how do we get into the kingdom of God? We can't get into the kingdom of God without faith. So, well, God's going to reward me if I have faith. He'll give me salvation. We can start thinking like that, yeah? Hello? Yeah? So it's out. We're going, I'm going to have faith. That's not so easy, is it? But you know, the gift of faith can be passed on to others, even the saving gift of faith. There's a gift. Faith. And what does it say? This is how people become Christians, how they get to know God in the first place. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. So how do we get saved? Through grace, by faith. We're applying the grace to our lives, yeah? Ephesians 2:4, just before that, says, because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. That's his job. He's making us alive, yeah? When we were dead in transgressions, by grace you have been saved. Let's break it down a bit. What led up to God giving us grace? It all begins with God. Look at the 2:4. Because of his great love. So it starts off with God. Not us. Doesn't start off with me. Starts with God. Because of God. He had great love for us. Well, who's us then? Us here. Part of the church, people in the church, yeah, that have received him, have turned to him. God couldn't do anything else because God is love. It says that in 1 John 4:8, whoever loves knows God because God is love. So it's all about God's love because of his great love for us. And God couldn't do it. He had to love us because he's God. And this loving God, fortunately, is also rich in mercy. What's mercy? If I've done something wrong, I might say to a judge, have mercy on me. If I haven't done anything wrong, you don't need mercy. If you're not in the wrong. So unless you're a sinner here today, you can't. God can't. God's going to have mercy on sinners, not people that aren't sinners. Yeah, because you don't need mercy if you haven't done anything wrong. In Psalm 51, it says this: David cried out. He'd done something really bad. He slept with a lady who wasn't his wife. She became pregnant, and he murdered her husband. He was a man of God, so eventually. he began to feel bad about that. And he cried out, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." He had lots of sins to be forgiven for, didn't he? And it was deep, and it had hurt God, and he realized that. He was pleading for God's mercy, asking him to show kindness and to withhold his judgment that he deserved. And that's what we do, and we say, "God, have mercy on me." Now, God is rich in mercy. His mercy is liberal. It's all the mercy we'll ever need. So he's got it so far. He's really loving, and he's really merciful. So he wants to give us the mercy, yeah, because he loves us. That's great. Nearly there. And what did he do? He made us alive in Christ. Christ died, didn't he? But he came back to life. So he's making you alive. That's why we need to be in Jesus. And what was our problem? We were dead in transgressions. So we were spiritually dead. We were cut off from him. We were cut off from God. We were dead. If you're dead, you can't respond. Someone's dead. Come to the Lord Jesus. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Have faith. Why can't he have faith? He's dead. You can't respond if you're dead. So even God needed to make us alive. See, Jesus died, his human body died in our place, and we deserve death, but in him he makes us alive. And his resurrection raised us up, and that's what it means to be saved. By grace you've been saved, not because of what you've done, by grace. This resurrected life comes through grace alone. Look, Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. We don't bring anything to the party. We just respond to him. We can't add anything to make it better. We did not deserve this favour. On the contrary, we deserved to die. In fact, we were dead. So how can we get this saved status? By believing in the mercy and grace of God. Where does it come from? It's a gift of God. Next verse, not by works, so no one can boast. So you can't say, "I've got faith." He hasn't got it, I have. It's not works. No one can boast because it's a gift from God. For we're God's handiwork, not our own, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if we do anything good, it's just evidence that God has worked in our lives. It doesn't add to our faith at all. James 2:4, 14, sorry, says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing for their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by actions is dead." Faith will certainly cause us to do certain things and behave in certain ways. It affects our attitude and behaviour to one another and other people. James goes as far as to say, if you keep on not doing anything, it shows you were never made alive. You haven't been changed. Ephesians 2:13 says,
That's further on in the same part we were looking at before. Remember, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. That's what you were like. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We trust in his mercy, he makes us right, and our outward behaviour reflects an inward reality. If you say, "I love you," to someone, do you act differently towards them? If it's real, you do. And they know you love them because of what you do, not just because of what you say. So God changes, we change our behaviour because of what's happened inside. What about faith for ongoing forgiveness? What about, I've become a Christian, I'm trusting God for my faith every day, I'm trusting in him completely, but sometimes I do things wrong. Man, that shakes your faith, doesn't it? Because I'm not doing these good things. We're encouraged. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we need faith, don't we? To trust that he'll forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. He promises if we confess, he will forgive. How do I know I'm going to be forgiven? I can't see him being forgiven. I just trust him. Because he says, if you confess, he'll forgive. In James 5:16, it says, pray for one another. Confess your sins to each other. I'm not going to stand here and tell you all the wrong things I've done. But sometimes it's good to do that. I said to someone the other day, I did this. I want to tell you because I want you to ask me about it so I don't do it again. So sometimes it's good to tell other people, other Christians, someone you trust, that you've done something wrong, because they'll help you in the future because you're answerable to them. And then they can help us fight against that temptation. How do we gain more faith then? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is produced when we hear the word of God. That's why we come here today. Because we're getting more faith by coming and listening. And earphones reminds me, not that it's a real Bible, it's a written Bible, but you can listen as well online to things. You can listen to sermons, you can listen to me, or you can listen to other people talking about the word of God, and that encourages our faith. Because as we read the Bible, we realise the promises that are in there, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So we believe it. And that builds faith in us. And we can certainly continue to call on him. Get into the word daily. Read it, study it, meditate on it. Mary was saying just now, let it percolate in your mind. Think about it, roll it over. Listen online, get different translations. Listen to extra sermons. Go to a Bible study. Look up a commentary online that talks about explaining it. But don't look down on those with a lack of faith. Don't look down on people. Allow your faith to build others up. Our faith is able to stir each other. That's what the gift of faith is all about. Stir one another. What about praying for others? James talks about that. If anybody's sick, let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Isn't it amazing, the wholeness there? A gift a faith given for a specific purpose, but there we've gone asking the Lord to help. Was it necessarily physical healing? It sounds like it, doesn't it? But when will the Lord raise him up? Doesn't say that happens straight away. The Lord will raise him up. We might have to wait. He will raise him up. In eternity, he will raise him up. But also, the most important thing, if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. So it's not just about physical healing, it's about inner healing. We're talking eternity here. God will raise people up. We can trust him as we have faith for other people. Is anybody sick? Let's pray for them. And we can trust him. And as we pray, he will do a whole work in that person. What about faith in the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and to the Gentile. The gospel is powerful. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, because he knew there was the plan of God for people's lives. What is the gospel? The gospel is the Lord Jesus came. He died for us on a cross, even though we didn't deserve it. He came back to life, and he's alive today. And he wants you to know him. That's the gospel. In a nutshell. He planned it from a long time ago. He knew that would happen. But how does it bring salvation? It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is like a powerful car. Yeah? Here's the powerful car. The gospel's the powerful car. But that car hasn't got any fuel in it. So it's just there. It won't do anything. However, it looks powerful, doesn't it? Looks expensive. Actually, it's just a lump of metal. It looks great. The gospel looks fantastic. Isn't it good that Jesus died and came back to life, and he's alive today, and he's coming back? That's good, isn't it? But it's not powerful yet. How does it become powerful? When we believe. It's the power of God for those who believe. So faith is the fuel. Once you put fuel in it, it takes off like a scalded cat. Real fast. No fuel, it's just facts. So as we present the gospel to other people and say to them, I believe in the Lord Jesus. This is what the faith is. This is what Christianity is. We wait for the Holy Spirit to empower the person to believe. But without the car, the fuel's no good either, is it? Hello? Because you've got to put your faith in something. So you put the fuel in the car. You put your faith in the gospel. And then it becomes powerful. So even faith to believe in God and trust him is a gift. It's all a gift. It's not a matter of us. God gives us the gift, but the great thing is we can operate that gift. We can use it. It's just a gift. Faith. Such an important subject, such an amazing gift. And we're all given it in different measures. I wish I had your faith. Wish I had your faith, Pete. But I can't have Pete's faith. I've got my own faith. But his faith feeds my faith. I wish I had your faith, Rad. I can, because you share it with me. And then it becomes my faith. It comes from God. It's a free gift. And we can use it. How can I seek more faith? Keep reading his word. Keep discovering the Lord Jesus. Keep finding out what he did. Jesus reveals himself in his word as we read and learn and obey what it says. Keep God's word close to your heart. Keep on trusting him. Keep on reading about him. In Hebrews chapter 11, if I can find it here. Think about. It talks about a lot of people who trusted God. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. That is in keeping with faith. Must have been difficult for Noah to build the ark, but he trusted in what God said and he acted on it. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And each of these people had a gift of faith, and they trusted what God said. I want a gift of faith, don't you? I want a gift of faith that I can pass on to others. We seek faith for ourselves and for others because of love. We do this together out of love. I don't need to come to church. I've got all the faith I need on my own. It's not true, is it? Also, I can't give my faith to others unless I'm meeting up. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. We love each other enough to give away our faith to one another as he gives us the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. If you love God, it's because he's enabled you to do so. But we don't just stop and say, okay, that's a gift, or I haven't got it. We seek him. And we seek him through his word and by meeting together and by drawing strength from one another. And if your faith is strong, thank God. And keep on trusting him and build it up. And keep on trusting all the more. The gift of faith. We can't live without it. Thanks for listening. I hope that was useful. Shall we say a prayer? I think we're going to sing a song. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? It's for you and it's for me. Is that possible? If your faith is weak, you go, man, it can't be for me. Can it? Yes, it can. Just trust him. If you don't trust him yet, ask for the faith, because he will give it to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. We thank you that you're very close. We thank you that we can't even believe in you without you helping us, because it's a gift. So, Lord, we want to take that gift today and put our complete trust in you. We thank you. You love us. You care for us. You've got great, your grace is amazing. Your mercy is amazing. And we thank you that whenever we come to you, you promise to help us in our time of need. So we reach out to you now in our time of need and say, God, please help us. We can't see it happening, but we believe you're at work in our hearts and lives. We pray our lives will demonstrate the way you've changed us by the way we behave. Please walk with us this week. Amen.